weekly warm pipe.
Jay, I'm frustrated.
What are you frustrated about, Russ?
I've been playing all these Super Nintendo games, and I can't beat any of them.
That's because they're SNES hard.
SNES hard. We did an episode with hard NES games, the hardest NES games. You often hear that term. This game is NES hard. You don't often hear it SNES hard, though. doesn't sound as cool, I guess.
No. There should be a YouTube channel called SNES hard, like SNES drunk. SNES hard.
But we wanted to put together our lists, kind of a top 10, maybe a couple more in there of games that are just frustrating, maybe why they're frustrating. And you possibly can't beat them without cheating, getting the Game Genie out. I don't know. Save states. I did come across a nice list written up by Den of Geek, D-E-N, the Den of Geek. I guess it's a blog. He has 15 of the hardest games. I only listed 10. I didn't know a few on his list, but I did want to read some stuff that he wrote that I thought was pretty good and on the point there. And maybe why the SNES games are hard, right?
Yeah.
Taking it back, I guess, to NES, I feel like the NES hard comes from a lot of games not having save points, like a lot of save points,
right?
Or one hit deaths certainly are frustrating. Low lives, maybe no continues or only one continue. And a lot of these games, I think Jay had mentioned before, were kind of meant to be beaten in one sitting almost, right?
Yeah.
You're not playing for hours. So definitely memorizing patterns and just getting good from dying over and over and over again and hopefully progressing.
Like, I would say two NES games that are like really notorious for that are just like Ghost and Goblins and Ninja Gaiden, especially Ninja Gaiden 1. Like, some of that stuff you had to do over and over and over just to pass it one time. You could sit there for 4 hours on the same level if you couldn't get past it, you know? I mean, like, who has time for that? Ain't nobody got time for that, Russ.
Especially now with us being older retro gamers, right?
That's right.
Plenty other games to play. I want my easy mode.
That's right.
But let's dive into some games that frustrate you.
Yes.
He starts off here with, in their move from NES to SNES, Nintendo and its development partners often relied on using 8-bit games as a basis for 16-bit innovations. While the approach helped move us toward the future of gaming, it also meant that SNES games felt spiritually similar to NES titles. That also means that many SNES games retain that arcade-like difficulty that would in some ways define over a decade of gaming. While the average SNES game didn't feature nearly as many of the technical and design hurdles that contributed to some of the most difficult NES games ever made, the console is still proud home of some of the most enjoyable challenges in video games history. So he breaks down some games. I made a list, so I'll go with it here. The Lion King.
You know
this one?
So I think I read the same article that you read, Russ, because I typed in hardest Super Nintendo games, and there was like, I read the first two things that popped up. And so just a disclaimer, I kind of created a list based on my own personal playing as a child and maybe as an adult a little bit. And then the other, so I think I made six that I could attest to, but the other four were a couple games that I saw pop up in both these lists. And I think one of them is this one you're talking about because it also had 15 games. But to answer your question, no, never played The Lion King, but I feel like I've heard people say that it is a pain in the butt.
Right. The issue I'll probably have is recollection of, was I playing the Sega Genesis version or the Super Nintendo version?
Because that's true.
Came out.
That is
true. I remember there was a part where you had to, there, it, like in the movie, there was that big herd of animals coming in, and you have to like run to not get trampled by them, essentially.
The wildebeest are after you.
Right. He does state that it starts off easy enough. and even impressive with its colorful visuals and surprisingly faithful soundtrack. However, most new levels introduce a vicious spike in difficulty that will leave you wondering why you suddenly suck. Halfway through, you're blindsided by an escape level that's arguably as challenging as the speeder bike segment in Battletoads, due to its both front and rear threats, rendering it quite not ready 3D technology that makes controls frustratingly unresponsive.
So, yeah. Russ, what do you think is the oddest thing about this level of difficulty with this particular game?
Well, like he said, it's having, okay, if you're running away from something, I got to keep close to the front of the screen, but you're also now prone to attacks from there as well. So it's keeping you on toes of both ends. So I can't just hug the front of the screen and not get hurt by enemies. I have to watch out for people come from there. Then you get hit back. Oh, now you get knocked back. Now you're getting hit by the people behind you, and it becomes a domino effect. So then you die. Okay, now you got to start it over. Die again, and it's like ends up just getting frustrating. You're like, you know what, I can't get past this level, I'm done with this game.
But I'm fishing for a specific answer here.
Okay,
so think about the title,
Lion King. Yeah.
Okay, why is this game difficult?
Okay, right, so
who is gonna buy this game?
You assume they're targeting young kids because it is Disney.
They are targeting young. You nailed it. That's exactly my thought. Why is Lion King hard? This game should not be hard. This game should be, if anything, a breeze. You know, I mean, there's six-year-olds, Mommy, Lion King for the Genesis, I want to get it, you know? And they go home, and then they feel like me trying to play Super Ghouls and Ghosts, where I can't make it like 5 seconds into the game. And all my equipment falls off, and my phones fall out, and I'm dead.
Right,
that's how they
right.
felt playing Lion King.
Like you said, so it's a Disney game. It should be, we're holding your hand, we're getting you through this, and you're just experiencing the Lion King story in a video game format, right?
I mean, if nothing else, give us the easy, normal, hard modes on it so you can dumb it down for the little kids that just want to play as Simba.
Not in the 90s.
Not in the 90s.
There was no easy mode.
We're going to grind you in the dirt and make men of you yet.
There's no crying in Disney video games.
Right.
So, yeah, it definitely has. That's one of the issues.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would say move on. Second on my list is Super Ghouls and Ghosts. So
that's number one with a bullet on mine. Remember renting it? Remember getting this far into the game? Literally. And dead. And I thought, why did I rent this? Now, as an adult, I can get slightly further. I know I've made it to the ghost ship, maybe slightly past that. Shout out to Megadan and T-Belly and Solid Nate and anybody else who's ever beat this game, because not me, brother.
Yeah, I will say I was super excited. I had purchased this game actually on the virtual console on the Nintendo Wii. And me and my friend played through it. And at least I believe on the Wii it had, you were able to save it, like save state style or something like that. And we did beat it, but again, much like Ghouls and Ghosts, or Ghosts and Goblins, you didn't get the special bracelet in previous level, then you couldn't fight the actual end boss, and now you need to start over. And I'm like, I'm done. I beat it.
Yeah. Yeah, I have actually beat Ghosts and Goblins on the NES legit. Both run-throughs. I did it on a live stream. But for whatever reason, I can't get myself to get through the Super Nintendo version. And where I play, I had a physical copy of it at one point. I do not think I have that anymore. But where I play it is on my SNES Classic, which does have save points. And for this game, I will use them. You know, now if I can play it and get good enough, I'll try to do a playthrough. But don't see it happening at this point in my life.
Right, right. Absolutely. We'll see what he says in the write-up here. He says, it's amazing that Super Ghouls and Ghosts is at least as difficult as its predecessor, considering that its controls are vastly improved and the action is significantly smoother overall. Right, because now you're on Super Nintendo, you got more buttons, a little bit better programming.
Give you the double jump, which is cool.
Double jump. However, it appears that Capcom felt that since Super Ghouls and Ghosts was much more playable than Ghosts and Goblins on NES, that meant they could make the game noticeably more difficult. The sequel features more on-screen enemies and more environmental hazards, but the same iconic health system that essentially leaves you with a razor-thin margin for error might as well be non-existent due to how difficult it is to progress after a single hit.
Yeah, dude, that's spot on. That's what I was thinking. Like, so many more enemies on screen and hazards.
Right, you're constantly having to do, like, damage control on each part. Okay, kill this enemy, kill this so I can progress over here. But then you jump and double jump, and then an enemy spawns, and you're like, I can't correct midair, and you end up hitting them. Now you're down armor.
I mean, one thing I will say is the game is absolutely beautiful. The people who programmed it, Capcom, fantastic job. Looks incredible. Controls are good. Mm-hmm. I just need to get good.
Right. And I am curious, if you don't know, they did do another game that's out now. I don't know if it's only on the Switch, but I know you could get it on the Switch. It's like Super Ghouls and Ghosts Remastered.
Hmm.
And it looks awesome. But downside is digital only. Okay. And I think it's like $30 or something.
No, not for me.
Because it came out, I believe, on a what do they call it? The Nintendo Direct.
Okay.
And I immediately went in and I was like, oh, sweet. I was like, oh, $30. I'll wait till it goes on sale.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I roll.
I was like, maybe $15.
Yep. But that's definitely a hard one.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got, Russ?
Next on the list, which was hard on the NES, and of course, you'll kind of see a pattern with most of these here transitioning over to the Super Nintendo. We have Battletoads and Battle Maniacs.
Yeah, never played that one, so I have not really much to say other than the fact that I beat Battletoads on the NES, and I have Battletoads Double Dragon on the NES.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, but I don't know. I mean, obviously the name corresponds with difficulty, so I'm assuming they probably didn't change much with that.
Right. I mean, difficult levels for sure. It's a beat 'em up style game. Definitely hard. We got, let's see. Once again, the highlight of this game's difficulty is the various vehicle sections that require you to avoid various obstacles while moving at high speeds. They felt the need to constantly do this chasing stuff.
Yes.
The infamous speeder bike section in this sequel is as hard as it ever was. But I have to give a special shout out to the vertical scroller level that requires you to maneuver between wall spikes that force you into a safe zone that's only about as wide as your character.
Ooh.
It's considered this is the best way to experience Battletoads due to its visual and control improvements, but the game is so difficult that it rides the line between being addictively challenging and frustratingly cruel. Yeah, again, this would probably be something I'd play on my SNES Classic and take advantage of those save states to try to progress in the game.
You gotta, right?
Because you could only... The frustrating thing is, like we said, you get to a certain point where you continually die, and then to try again to get back to that point often takes like too long, right? Because you'll reach a point, say if I die in the level and it takes me 10 minutes to get back to that point.
Right.
I now forgot what I died from and
right.
Didn't learn.
It's that's the hugest problem is trying to learn. How can you learn when you can't even, it's like AVG and how can I learn the pattern when I can't beat the guy and I go all the way back, you know, like it's the whole thing, just like Ninja Gaiden.
Absolutely. Yep. So, I mean, that's what makes a majority of these older retro games harder, essentially, because now they have a lot of the games coming out on Switch or PlayStation that are retro looking, but they're right. more forgiving, where they give yes. you more save spots or health on screen or whatever it is to make it a little bit easier.
A bit more safe space, a bit more safe spaces and a bit more health.
That's it. What else you got, Jay?
So I'll name one off my list. Maybe it made the 15. I'm not sure. I went with Super Contra.
Yes, the Alien Wars.
I find Super Contra so much harder than the original two games, Contra and Super C.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can't get past level 3 or 4.
It's been quite some time since I had played the game. I remember watching my friend play it at his house, well, playing with him because it is two player. But yeah, like you said, progressing for sure. And they switched it up as well, where you not only have side scrolling levels, you have this interesting top down mechanic level where you're viewing it almost like a Zelda.
Right? Yeah.
And you're kind of traversing through the level like that.
Yeah.
Moving and
yeah. And it's kind of hard to see your map and all that. My thoughts on Super Contra are kind of the same as my thoughts on Super Ghouls and Ghosts. Beautiful looking game. Controls are really not the problem. For whatever reason, I just really find it difficult. So I don't know. I want to like it so much, but it's probably just that I suck. But I struggle to like both those games.
And
as
again,
a matter of fact, I think I had them both and sold them.
Right. I said they're great IPs for sure. And you're attached to like, oh, I did enjoy the NES games. Let me try out the Super Nintendo ones. And like you said, it's on the Super Nintendo. I dig those 16-bit graphics. It's just that difficulty.
I just maybe, super suck at it.
Maybe you got to play with someone else. It's just easier with the two people, right?
I don't know. I just need more practice, I guess. And that's practice means time, and time's hard to come by.
Let's see what he wrote as his little blurb in here. Here again, we have an SNES game where the developers must have thought to themselves, well, if we're giving them better graphics and better controls, then we should probably make everything more difficult to compensate for the natural frustration we lost.
Yeah.
As such, Contra 3 ups the ante of the franchise by taking what was already very difficult action experience and adding a variety of expertly placed environmental hazards that keep you constantly off balance.
Yeah. It
certainly doesn't help that the bosses are some of the toughest in the series history, and that the game's top-down segments offer a unique challenge break from the standard side-scrolling action.
I mean, even level one on that game is kind of challenging. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, this is...
I'll have to go back to it. That'll be a good one to live stream. So.
Oh, man, I'll definitely watch that.
We'll see how it goes. Another one that made my list, I bet you a lot of people probably tried to play this, but then wasn't sure what to do. And that is The Simpsons Bart's Nightmare.
Bart's Nightmare. That was one of the ones I pulled off that 15.
Yeah, I definitely didn't put a ton of hours into this. But again, it's the 90s and Simpsons was huge. So you see a video game and you're like, it's The Simpsons. I got to try it. Even the NES games, like I tried Bart vs. Space Mutants, Radioactive Man.
Versus the world,
like all those, like I literally played them because I enjoyed watching The Simpsons.
Well, and the commercials made it look so awesome, right? Like right. I remember wanting Bart versus the Space Mutants for the Nintendo so bad, and then when I played it at my friend Mark's house, I was like, "This is what they gave us." You're trying to cover up purple aliens, or I don't know. Anyway, but so I feel like. I want to give a shout out to Ron Man Gaming. I think he did a really good video on, was it Virtual Bart? What are we talking about now?
Bart Simpson's Nightmare.
I think he did a video on this. If not, he did it on Virtual Bart. But yeah, I mean, it's like, you would think it'd be so awesome. Like, look, that looks so cool. Like,
you got Godzilla Bart Simpson.
Like, that looks rad, right? Like, it's like Bart meets Rampage or something.
Right. But the difficulty is there. So we got Bart's Nightmare is a pretty bad game that suffers from some often awful controls, but it would likely still be remembered as one of the most frustrating SNES games ever made, even if it was a bit more refined. Essentially a collection of mini game levels, because it does start off, you're walking in the street and I think you end up into each of these nightmares, right? So it's mini games like Bart's Nightmare forces you to quickly master a series of entirely new scenarios with their own rules. That's annoying. But what makes this game so noteworthy is that some of the individual levels in this game are as mechanically challenging as they are conceptually confusing. There's no better example of those concepts than the game's Indiana Jones tribute level, a bewildering collection of platforms and traps that would still be difficult to figure out, even if things weren't constantly trying to kill you. This is one of the SNES best example of games that lures you in with its familiar name and then compensates for a relatively short amount of content by making everything as hard as possible. That makes a good point too, where a lot of games sometimes, if they made it too easy, you would complete it in a short time. So then would you feel you have gotten your money's worth? So instead of maybe they didn't have enough time to program more levels or extend the gameplay anyway, if we ramp up the difficulty, it's going to take you longer to complete that game, thus maybe worth the price you paid, right?
Yeah, then it sounds like they also pulled an LJN, you know, getting those familiar IPs, The Simpsons, you know, here, this is a great game, it's The Simpsons. You know, everybody wants to play The Simpsons, so you buy it, and then it's, they give you mini games. It's basically Skate or Die. It's garbage.
Move on to a next one.
That's right, moving on. All right, so another one that made my list. Get my phone to work here. Jay is not great at shooters. Jay put on Super R-Type.
Okay.
Yeah, Super R-Type. I bought it because I thought it, you know, like, because I loved Life Force so much, which I also am not amazing at. And I had R-Type for the Master System when I had a Master System. And, like, I just thought it looked kind of cool. But I was like, Super R-Type's going to be amazing. I was awful at it. I don't think I could get past the first level, once again. That's probably why I never became a SNES addict. I couldn't get past the first level of any game. That's Home Alone 2. Super Mario World.
Yeah, shooters can definitely become a difficult game. It may start out easy, but you're getting these power-ups that are making it easier, right? Because you're clearing more enemies. But once you lose those power-ups, you're done.
You're back, like, in the ditches.
Like, doesn't matter how many lives you have, you're so far into the level that all the enemies are on screen and you just have this pea shooter now, right? And it's just like, I can't compete.
I'll even go ahead and just to mention it, because I mean, there's really not much to say that different, is I also chose Gradius 3. Both of those games I've got awful at. The only shooter that I was relatively decent at on the SNES, and that's because I owned it as a kid, and from what I understand from people that are shooter fans, it's dumbed down, is Darius Twin.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a shooter in SNES and you don't want to be frustrated, Darius Twin.
Darius Twin. There you go. You're welcome.
Moving on. I got a few more on the list here. Let's see. How many I got left? I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I'll do one more and then we'll jump over and see what you guys said. See if any of the ones you guys mentioned will make the list here. We did mention this in one of the last episodes, but we added Earthworm Jim 2, the second one.
Yep.
I feel like a lot of people played the first Earthworm Jim, and then when the second one came out, either it didn't hit as much, or they just ramped up the difficulty to where they're like, I can't progress in this game.
Right.
Now, I did live stream this one quite some time ago, but again, I was using my SNES Classic, and I use save states every chance I could get.
Russ is not ashamed to use save states.
That's right. We got a little write up here. While the original Earthworm Jim is difficult, not even the game can prepare you for how unforgiving Earthworm Jim 2 truly is. It's it consisted of its side-scrolling stages. It would still be in the running as one of the hardest SNES titles. However, we once again encounter a Battletoads scenario where the game's special vehicle and race sections raise the overall difficulty to such a degree that I can honestly say everyone I've spoken to haven't been able to beat this game as a kid, at least without relying on emulator saving.
See? There you go.
It's one way to do it for sure. Yeah, so they have a lot of those like chase levels where you're either moving on something and you're progressing and you're like frustrated because you got to move fast, so you're making hesitant decisions and you just die and die. That's why with save state, I can be like, save here. Oh, I crashed. All right, start over. I got to go here instead.
Right.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
All right, we'll jump over and see what you guys are saying on the, we got Instagram, Facebook and our YouTube page. If you guys want to follow us, it's just at the Weekly Warp Pipe.
What did you say? What did you say?
Springfield, let's hear from you.
All right, we got Instagram. Retroholic16. What up, guys? There are the notorious ones, like The Lion King. Zombies Ate My Neighbors, and Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yep.
But I also think Earthworm Jim 2.
There you go.
Jurassic Park, which and is Mega Man 7 are hard also. Yeah, so most of those made the list for sure. And it seems the community is agrees. Right there with you. Yeah. What else we got? We got...
That picture, that was as far as I made it in that game.
Yeah, I chose a little promo picture with Super Ghouls and Ghosts. Facebook. I think we had one person over there. Three comments. Okay. Brian says, why is this game so hard? And he has a picture of the opening screen of The Lion King.
That's exactly it.
And also Brian chimes in with Empire Strikes Back on SNES. We can never get that far in it. Agreed. A lot of those Star Wars games are brutally hard. And they do have difficulty settings. And I played them on easy. And it makes it a little bit easier, but again, who you're marketing it to younger kids. It may not be Disney level, right. But kids do enjoy Star Wars, so it should be relatively easy.
And now Disney owns Star Wars.
Full circle.
So
we got Matthew Durkin, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, of course. But I always thought Contra 3.
Me too.
The Lion King. And all three of the Super Star Wars games were very tough. I wouldn't be surprised if I never got around to beating a couple of them. Again, those were one, I forget which one I streamed, but I did live stream one of those, completed it with save states, of course. There are, though, if you don't want to go save state route, I believe there are codes in like Nintendo Power, which you could just search now to give you either extra lives or a level selection. So I don't know if that's a little less cheating or what, but
I got really, really close as a kid to beating Super Star Wars. Me and my brother were up one night. I was in one of two things happened, and I don't remember. I would like to think it was the latter, but it was either A, I knew some code that gave me some extra lives, or B, I actually played this game so dang much that I got decent at it. And one night I just kept getting to the next level. And then at the very end, we're like, I think we were at the end of the game. We're in like the TIE. Is it the X-Wing or the TIE Fighter they're in? Anyway, it's whatever spaceship, I think the X-Wing. And we're down the trenches of the Death Star, and I'm supposed to shoot some kind of little 2-inch by 2-inch black square or something. Yes. And I just kept missing. And I remember, like, I finally used my last life. Mm-hmm. And, like, me and my brother were like, no! We were so close. Like, we'd been playing this game all night, and it was like, it must have been around Christmas time, like Christmas break or something. And my dad walks in and he goes, some of us have to work in the morning. I was like, okay, we're turning it off, Dad. Sorry. Like, but I was so close. I wanted to beat it so bad. So
that's the one I was streaming because I remember I save state it. You start off, you're on
Tatooine.
You're on top of the Death Star and you have to take out like towers and guns. And once you complete that, it brings you to the pit area. Yep. And then you're just progressing.
And was like, that the last level, the pit?
As soon as you shoot your missile, that's the end of the game. And if you miss, you have to start.
Do it all over again.
Like on top of the Death Star again, shoot. Like, you don't just start the trenches over again.
So that's what I was going through over and over using all my lives. And I was like, we got in the trench and like, I just couldn't. I feel like it was going so fast and I didn't really know what I was looking for. I don't know, but it was. That was 1992. It was a long time ago. Actually, that was probably 93. Can't remember.
Let's see. And then I think we got two more over on our YouTube community page. Steve versus Man Cave Arcade. He's got, I could not get past the fourth level in Battletoads and Battle Maniacs. Well, I mean, I think that's pretty impressive. Made it to the fourth level.
Yeah.
You were on a glider where you had to jump and move. Pretty much remember the sequence of movements. It was hard as hell. Batman Forever was another game I could not beat. I still enjoyed playing it, even though a lot of people say it's a terrible game. From the few levels I played, I thought it was a solid game.
Mm.
Yeah, I can't say if I ever played that one. But again, you know, I'm a big Batman fan, so I would gravitate towards, okay, let me try it out. Like, is it that bad?
I feel like I played it for about 5 minutes and was like, no, this game is garbage. So, Steve, we do not agree.
And we got Purge and Splurge Thrifting. Believe it or not, Contra the Alien Wards is extremely difficult.
Absolutely.
It was hard to get past the first few levels without it being all over for this guy. Love this game, but maybe it was the age at the time that had the odds stacked against me.
I don't know. I'm 42 and still can't do it. So,
yeah, our reflexes probably less now, right? We probably had a better chance when we were younger and more time.
Who knows?
Sweet. So, yeah, you guys did mention a few on the list here. We talked about Zombies Ate My Neighbors, someone had brought up. I think the difficulty of that is probably how many levels there are.
It's so long, right? It was like 48 or 50 levels, something like that.
Yeah, it might even be more than that. So it just takes a toll. It does give you passwords. So if you want to come back, you know,
that's nice.
Start fresh. But then you do have to, I don't know if it keeps like your inventory, right? So the benefit is playing through, you're getting more of these extra weapons, the soda grenade bombs and all the stuff which you want when you go up against like the big bosses, the big giant baby, you know, you're attacking that. Certainly a fun one, probably a little easier, again, two player, much like Contra, if you got that extra person to help you out.
Or hold you back.
It's certainly difficult, but I would still say that is a good game. Whereas some of the other games may be too frustrating and you wouldn't want to go back and play it.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I have four left. One of them was the Super Star Wars that we mentioned.
Nice.
Yeah, like I said, I already told you the story. I played as a kid, made it to the end. Dad got mad, said, some of us got to work in the morning. And I said, okay. So, but I haven't played it. I haven't ever gotten that far since. I tried to play it in the last 5-6 years, and I think I got like the third or fourth level, and I was like, man. I was trying to do all these like slides under the, under these like,
right
three bars of like light that like it's like a prison. It's like,
yeah, the lasers.
I was like, oh my god, this is driving me crazy. So, but yeah, Super Star Wars, I played that a lot, and it's hard, and I, according to what I've heard from others, the other two are equally as hard.
Yeah,
that's all I got to say about that.
I add it on my list. A lot of sequels end up being tough. I add it, ActRaiser 2.
I saw that on that 15 list.
I really enjoyed the first one. And it's they took away part of what set the game apart from everything. In ActRaiser 2, it was just a platformer game. There was no more Sims part where you're the angel and you're building the town and all that. It's just like platforming.
See, I know nothing about either one of those games. I have no clue.
So I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe it'll be fun, but notoriously difficult. Just ramped up that difficulty for some reason, maybe because they're making the sequel. I can read what they were talking about it on the article here. The original ActRaiser was also fairly difficult, but it's blending of platforming, action, and town building is so impressive that you kind of forgive it for its difficulty spikes. For ActRaiser 2, developer Quintet seemingly convinced themselves that the reason people loved the original was because of its challenging side-scrolling levels rather than its variety. At least that's my best explanation for why they abandoned the town-building elements and instead focus on crafting the hardest side-scrolling levels imaginable.
Wow.
Much to my dismay of many younger gamers, they accomplished that mission in such a way that ensures the mere mention of ActRaiser 2 can unlock a treasure trove of repressing gaming memories. Some of the game's challenges are amplified by its sluggish controls and animation, but much of the difficulty comes down to the level design. From floating platforms to the pit of deaths, ActRaiser 2 is like a hall of fame for every controller-breaking concept of its era.
Wow. It's intense.
So, yeah. And again, that's another one. They did a remaster or remake of, and it's on Switch. But again, there was that price point. I think it was like $30 or something. And I'm like, I can't spend that much on a digital game.
Nope.
Can't do it. If it's physical, sure, I'll support it. But digital, I'm like, I'm putting it in my wish list. And when it goes on sale, I'll pick it up and see if I enjoy it.
So next on my list is a game I actually beat. And the reason I beat it is because I knew I was going to be selling it. And I wanted to get all the way through it at least once before I sold it. And now I regret selling it. And that game is Dracula X.
I was going to say Little Samson.
I wish I had that game. Dracula X, I thought it was a really good game. It took me a little longer to get into it for some reason. I think every time I played it, I just found myself wanting to play Super Castlevania. But mm-hmm. after I played it and completed it, I found like this newfound appreciation for it. And the final boss is definitely a lot harder because you don't have a solid platform. You have like little sections of land. But somehow I figured out a way to beat him. But it's not unbeatable because I did beat it. But yeah, it was one of the harder SNES games that I've ever played. But wasn't so bad I wasn't able to get through it.
Right, right. Yeah, that was last on my list as well. And that made mostly everyone's list for sure.
I got two more. What you got, Russ?
Well, I'll read a little bit. That was the last one on my list here.
Oh, okay.
I'll read what they say, just giving it a little extra description of Castlevania Dracula X here. With Super Castlevania 4, Konami dialed things back a bit by granting the player more control over their character. The game was still difficult, but the fact that it allowed you to do things such as swing your whip in any direction made it more accessible than anything that came before. Castlevania Dracula X, on the other hand, throws all that out the window and replaces those expanded controls with more environmental hazards than ever before. Considered to be the true successor to Castlevania 3, due to its retro controls and design, Dracula X can also be considered the hardest game of the franchise, simultaneously with its difficulty. There is almost no margin for error in this action title, as nearly every jump and swing can end your run if they're not executed perfectly.
So are you telling me that I perfectly played that game, Russ?
Well, you just fine-tuned your skill with it.
That's it. I did.
After repetition over and over.
I think I only played it for about a week because I had to get it out pretty quick. I sold it to Back of the Day Gamer.
Now I'm trying to see, did that one end up on the Castlevania Collection that you can pick up? I wonder if that's on there.
No, but luckily I have a ROM on my hacked Wii.
There you go.
So I can still play it if I want to, which is another reason why I sold it. I was like, I got a copy. Sort of. Ish. All right. So I have two more games on my list. Both of these games are not games I have much experience with or any. I just found them online and thought, hey, I'll throw them on here. One of them has been mentioned by a lot of you guys who wrote in, and it was Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that made one of the lists. I personally didn't have, I don't think, any gameplay memories of playing this growing up. But I will say, kind of how we touched in on the Disney aspect, you're targeting this to the younger kids that love the movie Jurassic Park. So they're kind of expecting something different when they're going to get this game, and it being hard to control or navigate and play, I'm sure was a big disappointment.
I think also, you're like looking for eggs and like, how fun is that? How fun is that? And plus, like, man, Genesis, their marketing was so dope. They're like, you know, they actually let you be the raptor. Like, how cool was that? You get to be the dinosaur, and it was side scrolling and it just looked a lot cooler. Honestly, the gameplay wasn't that much better than the Super NES. It was a completely different game, but the Super NES was top down, which we all know Jay wasn't a fan of because I thought Zelda sucked because it didn't look like Mario. So that already turned me off. I didn't like the cartoony aspect. And then I see, here I am with the Super Nintendo and I'm seeing the Sega commercials and I'm like, why can't I have that? Why didn't you give me, you know, that?
Yeah.
I just want to be a dinosaur. Let me be a raptor, please. But yeah, I just don't know. I've played the Jurassic Park game on the SNES, you know, in the last couple of years, and I just thought it was boring too. So it's hard and it's boring. Get it out of here.
And again, I think that's another, it's funny enough, most of these games, it's on a collection. I think they have a Jurassic Park collection
Yeah, which I've considered getting. So
you can get that. You can get the Contra collection and the Castlevania collection and play all these games.
I'll just torture myself.
Well, the benefit, I assume, I'm not positive, but usually with the collection games, they usually do give you the save state ability and sometimes even the rewind time feature, so you don't have to constantly save state. You can just hold down a trigger button.
I'll just rewind my way all the way through it. So maybe I will. That's what I need for X-Men.
Oh, right.
On the Sega. Do you have any more, Russ?
I don't, no.
Okay, so I'll just throw my last one, and this is just, I'm going to be honest, just saw it on a couple lists, and I said, I've never even played this game. I know nothing about it. So Russ can tell us about it. The Seventh Saga.
Right. That came up, and then Hygani came up as well.
Yeah, Hygani, yeah.
And I have zero experience with either of those. Same. I know Hygani is an expensive game.
Me too.
I don't know about the Seventh. What is it?
The Seventh Saga. Sounds like an RPG, if you ask me.
Right. So I imagine maybe the difficulty comes in that. It was on the article that I was pulling this from here. So I could read what essentially.
Yeah, that's what I assumed said, we would do.
Yeah, and see why is it the hardest?
Why is Seventh Saga hard?
Let's see, where is it on here? From Jim, Jurassic Park. There we go. Seventh Saga. The SNES is rightfully remembered as the home of some of the best RPGs ever made, but few of those RPGs are necessarily remembered among the console's most difficult games. That being the case, you may go into a game like The Seventh Saga feeling pretty confident. If so, then consider this your fair warning that The Seventh Saga is absolutely one of the hardest 16-bit games ever made.
Holy moly. That's a bold statement.
For some reason, this game's developer decided to make the US version of this game even more difficult than it was already. The result is a project with the typical RPG challenges that are amplified by the fact that enemies can survive an absurd amount of damage that makes level grinding more important than ever. Sadly, the US version of this game makes leveling even slower than before, which means that already challenging battles feel that much more laborious. The Seventh Saga is actually a very good game, but it's already challenging puzzles, dungeons, and bosses are made legendary by virtue of one of the most questionable, difficult bumps in gaming history. So it seems like you would have to sink an absurd amount of extra hours into leveling your character,
right? Because
leveling takes longer and you need to be at a higher level to defeat these enemies.
Have you grinding all day?
Right. So not a good time to me.
No, neither.
So hopefully
I've never heard of it.
Hopefully these games here brought back some frustrating memories that maybe you can overcome now being a retro gamer, going back and maybe looking at it with fresh eyes or different tactics. Or maybe you'll just stay away from these games completely and play something like Super Metroid, Super Mario World,
Super Castlevania.
Super Castlevania. Those three are fantastic and shouldn't have you throwing any controllers.
They all have that just right challenge.
Just enough bits with just enough. What was that commercial?
A bit more fun, a bit more levels, a bit more challenge.
That's it. Sweet. Well, hey, give us a call. Let us know, you know, what some frustrating games you were. Maybe let us know a topic you want us to cover. Our phone number is 949-682-9277. That's 949-682-WARP. I need some good echo on my voice there.
Warp, that's right. Warp.
Do want to give a quick shout out to our Patreon supporters, Dan and Nicole's Treasures Untold, Joe Sheevy, Trace Living Good, Samantha Chang, Rodney Torres, Retroholic 16, and Austin Mills. Being top tier Patreon supporters, we thank everyone that can be a Patreon supporter. Little as a dollar a month helps out, helps support the show. Check it out over at patreon.com/RussLyman. And you can head to our website, theweeklywarpipe.com. For all our episodes, in case you missed one, you could grab some merch. You get a sweet mug like that, Weekly Warp Pipe. We got magnets for your fridge. I got buttons, stickers, and t-shirts. So put in your merch order, get some gear. support the podcast.
The whole nine.
The whole nine. Sweet. All right. It's been fun chatting, but we got to get out of here and play some Super Nintendo games, I guess.
That's right. But not the Seventh Saga.
Definitely not.
Never.
All right, guys. We'll catch you on the next one.